I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
It is almost game day, and we've got the towels going. Steve has got his on display because it's got his face on it. This guy's this famous, you know. He's a cult hero.
See you in Buffalo. It might be chilly.
Saturday night, it might be chilly.
Pepsi put out these towels that everybody that comes into the stadium is going to get one of those. So
yeah, they get one of these.
We got ours.
Our MSG viewers are looking. There's a Bills logo on there. It's a blue towel. Hand towel, you know, blue towel. It's got Steve's picture on there. See, in Buffalo, might be chilly. And it might be on Saturday night with the temperature expected to drop into the upper 20s. There is lake effect snow in the forecast. Nothing significant by way of accumulation. They're saying
it's supposed to get
worse
as the night gets deeper and deeper.
Yeah, so we'll have to see where it is come the second half. There might be some accumulation in the latter stages of the game, but hopefully the Bills have this thing put to bed by then. And, yeah. Let's get it going, man. What are we? We're 32 hours from kickoff, somewhere around there. So
32 hours.
Yeah, about 32 hours from kickoff. So everybody is waiting with bated breath, deep anticipation. And I will say this, Steve, you can see it on social media. Fans are anxious. They just want to get to the dang game already. And we experienced some of that with all of the callers we had yesterday on the show. And we have a chock-full show for you today because we've got the latest installment of Tasker's Teammate in about 30 minutes. So we look forward to that. Test Steve's memory for teammates that he's spent time with during his Bills career. And then at 12:45, about 45 minutes from now, we're going to check in with Andy Major, Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. And he'll be giving us the latest information for the fans that will be attending the Saturday night divisional round playoff game. All the fans will be getting one of these on their way in, these rally towels, I guess you'd call them, for lack of a better term. But he'll kind of give us the information that you need so that you are fully prepared, you know, knowing that there's a very good chance a lot of these 6,700 coming through the turnstile Saturday night are first-timers, much like a lot of the fans that came through the turnstiles in the wild card game last week. So just want to have everybody prepared as to what you can do, cannot do, what you can bring in, what you can't bring in, because it is more restrictive now due to COVID. So
yeah, you can't bring those plastic bags that they used to
give. Yeah, the see-through bags
you
used to carry.
You almost have to come in empty-handed and
aside from your phone with your negative test.
Right, not quite like that. But, yeah, you can't bring any satchels in and stuff. And it's, you know, the concession stand setup is a little different. You're kind of assigned to a concession stand.
Yep.
You got to go to that one. It's all cashless. You got to bring a card or a debit card or something to pay with. They're not going to be changing cash back and forth. All that stuff. And it'll be interesting, too. I want to ask Andy when he comes on, like, was there an unforeseen thing that you kind of fix now? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you mean test? You know, from the dry
bumps in
the dry run from the first time around last week. Yeah,
right.
That's a good question.
Is there something you had to fix or something you didn't unforesee or whatever?
So we'll check in with him in about 45 minutes, and then Second hour of the show, we'll have Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown, a guy who knows all too well what this Baltimore offense is like, having faced it just last year in Week 14, the last season of his career. And then a little over an hour and 20 minutes from now, we'll talk to Greg Cosell from NFL Films. He'll make his weekly appearance. We'll dive into the X's and O's there. I am eager to talk to Greg about the Week 3 matchup between Baltimore and Kansas City, which was won by the Chiefs 34-20. I was diving deep into the film this morning, and I have to tell you, and I told Steve this before we went on the air, I am buoyed by the performance of the Chiefs' offense against this Baltimore defense about Buffalo's prospects going into Saturday night. Just with some of, knowing that Josh Allen is capable of doing a lot of the same things that Patrick Mahomes does, extend the play, make passes off platform, avoid rush, all of that stuff, I'm encouraged.
And their ability to spread it around to a lot of different guys. This isn't like this offense for the Bills is not like Green Bay's offense where they've got Devontae Adams and a bunch of guys. This is, you got Steph Diggs certainly as the lead dog, but Cole Beasley, John Brown, Gabe Davis, Devin Singletary, Dawson, they spread it around enough so that, you know, the Ravens are going to have to be covering a lot of people up, unlike what the Rams are going to do with Jalen Ramsey and Devontae Adams in the early game on Saturday. So this Bills offense, and that's why a lot of people, Brownie, that's why a lot of people think this Bills team is kind of built to beat the Chiefs because they're built like the Chiefs.
Built to beat the Ravens, you mean?
They're built to beat the Chiefs. Because that's how they're built.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They can beat the Ravens. I mean, they're up against the Ravens tomorrow. But this is a team that is built a lot like the Kansas City Chiefs.
And yeah.
It is an offense with a guy that's pulling the trigger that is really good, makes all the throws, extends plays, goes off page, a big handful for the defense, has a little bit of a running element to him, all of that stuff. So this is a team that is built, and I'm not saying it's better than the Chiefs or good, but that's the framework. And this Raven defense had some problems against those guys.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just because the Chiefs outran them everywhere.
No. And we'll dive into that as we get further along into the show. Also at 2:30, about 2.5 hours from now, we'll have our team reporters segment as Matty Glab talks to Cassie Calvert from the Ravens. And we want to thank this week's game sponsor, Pepsi, the official soft drink of the Buffalo Bills. So they're the game sponsor for this week's divisional round playoff game. There are some news and notes around the league that are worth mentioning as some of these head coaching positions have been filled across the NFL. Prior to yesterday, there were 7 head coaching jobs open. Right now, there may only be 5. We're waiting for final confirmation on the Falcons job, but widespread reports. Actually, there's 5. There
4.
Could be 4 left.
Could be 4, yeah.
Depending on what happens with the Falcons. Excuse me. As we were closing up shop here on the show Thursday, it was becoming rather evident that Urban Meyer was going to be the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that is an attractive position, even in an AFC conference that is loaded with quarterback talent, young quarterback talent. Urban Meyer presumably will have the opportunity to work with Trevor Lawrence as they have the first pick in the NFL draft this spring, and they have, I think, 11 total draft choices and about $70 million in cap space to utilize. So it was an attractive landing spot for him. I also saw some interesting reports that he had become somewhat disenchanted with how the college game was working with the new transfer rules and how they handled COVID and all of that. So I expect more college coaches to be looking to the NFL for opportunities, and there presumably will be with 7 coaching staffs that are going to have to get filled out here in the near future. I know there's coaches out there that are disenchanted with the college game and where it's headed, and it seems like the NCAA and the Power Five are still butting heads as to, you know, what the right course of action is there. So, yeah, it's a little messy down at the college level.
At the college level, and we talked about this at length before, at the college level, certainly at schools like Clemson and Alabama and Ohio State and others like that in the SEC and around the country, Notre Dame and the those coaches kind of feel like maybe they are in a little bit of a microscope, but they have no idea the microscope that the NFL offers.
True.
So the expectations are different, and you're on national TV every single week. This is not a local franchise like a college team is kind of like that.
Yeah.
Although there are national teams,
the SEC might be able to argue with you on
right.
that.
But I'll say this. the expectations are such in the SEC that only that may give you an idea of what the expectations are in the NFL.
Right.
If you're coming from any place else, the expectations are skyrocketed above that in the NFL. And you're not working with kids. Yeah. You're working with pros.
So Urban Meyer takes the Jacksonville job. The New York Jets, meanwhile, hire Robert Saleh from the 49ers, their defensive coordinator. He is the new head coach for the Jets, and he is bringing with him Mike LaFleur, he was the quarterback's coach in San Francisco. He will be his offensive coordinator. And Mike LaFleur is the brother of Matt LaFleur, who is the head coach in Green Bay and has done pretty good things up there in 2 years with that right. offense. So the thought is he'll be cut from the same cloth in terms of his offensive system, which branches off the Shanahan tree and all of that.
Right. There's a lot. It is a little bit of a – it's an incestuous league. There's no question about it. Guys coach, and when they get an opportunity, their first inclination is to bring in guys they trust. And that means guys they have worked with. And that's where kind of the crossover and the cross-pollination happens a lot. And it's interesting, too, because every time we have this conversation, we have a text loop here with One Bills Live, of course. And when Saleh was hired by the Jets, we all kind of did a sigh of relief saying, okay, that's one less opportunity Brian Daboll has to go someplace and be a head coach.
Sure, he'd love to hear us talking like this, right?
I don't care. He knows we love him. That's why we're talking like this. So
yeah.
The only hurdle, the hurdles, and Atlanta was a big one as well. Atlanta and Jacksonville was the one that I thought maybe would sneak up. The one I think the Buffalo Bills have got to get by with Brian Daboll is the Chargers.
Right.
If Daboll does not get hired by the Chargers, I don't think he's the best candidate for, like, Detroit. I don't think he's the best candidate for Philly, but there is another one, too, the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
Daboll would make hay with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, the problem is you don't have a first-round pick there. Actually, their first pick is in the third round.
Oh, they're going to have to do it.
The Houston Texans have the first pick. Their first pick in the draft in 2021 is in round three. Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, they're going to have to.
Pick 67.
They're going to have to do a lot. And they're also like $9 billion, I'm exaggerating, $9 billion over the cap.
Yeah, and you may have your toughest decision may be to part ways with one of the most popular players on the roster in J.J. Watt, who's a $17.5 million cap charge next year in the last year of his contract. So how about that? You walk in the door as the new head coach and you wave bye-bye to J.J. Watt. How's that going to go?
You know
over?
What happened? I'll also give you another example when that happened in the history of the NFL. Bill Belichick took over for the Cleveland Browns way back in the day. He cut ties with Bernie Kosar.
Yeah.
That did not go over that well.
Yeah.
That did not go over that well.
So those are all things that these guys consider. I mean, as much as they covet, you know, one of what are only 32 jobs in the world at this level of football, there are a lot of things to think about, both positive and negative. And it's got to be the right fit. And I think that will be – I think Brian Daboll will treat it the same way, much the same way. But just to wrap up the coach hirings, the Falcons have reportedly offered their head coaching job to Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. And I didn't realize how young Arthur Smith is. You know, he's only 38. He's only 38 years old. So he has reportedly been offered the Atlanta Falcons head coaching job. And Steve was of the opinion that that's an attractive job, not only because it's in the NFC away from all the other young quarterbacks in the AFC, but you're also in a division with two aging quarterbacks, one of whom may be done after this year in Drew Brees, the other Tom Brady, and Teddy Bridgewater. So you still have Matt Ryan. I think he still has a couple of prime years left, although he's getting a little long in the tooth himself. But you could win quickly there and turn that around, provided you get the right defensive coordinator to get that defense in order, because they haven't been right since that Super Bowl they were in. They've been a mess since then.
That scarred them bad. And yeah, I thought Atlanta was a really nice landing spot. I'm kind of a fan of the Detroit job, except that I don't think their leadership is where you want it. There's a reason that Detroit has floundered for two decades, you know, and so I don't know that you can get enough assurances that you can trust. Even if you know how to do it and want to do it and can put the personnel grouping together in the front office and all that, I don't know that that you're going to be able to make it work there, because of there's been a lot of quality people through that building that have not been able to get it done. And you can say what you want about, you know, well, they weren't the right guy, whatever. There's a lot of quality people who have been through that building who have not been able to get it done. You got to start looking someplace else as to what the reasons are. And I think most of these head coaching candidates, it's going to be it's going to be a little bit like it was here in Buffalo at the end of Ralph Wilson's reign as owner. You've got an owner that is elderly and perceived to be frail, and top candidates want stability at that with their ownership group. They don't want a huge question mark. Doug Marrone opted out shortly after the ownership changed direction.
He had that contained in his contract because of the advanced age of Ralph Wilson.
That, and I'll tell you this, that's unbelievable that a candidate coming from Syracuse University would be able to have the clout to ask for that in his contract.
Yeah.
Because that's how far the Bills had to go to get somebody to say yes. I mean,
well, that's where they were
in
2013.
I mean,
sadly.
Because you think about it, because, you know, and I love Ralph. He was 95.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's, so, you know, it was hard to get a candidate, and Ralph had he said, if you can get him to say yes, I'll pay him. They couldn't get anybody to say yes.
Right.
And the contract they gave Doug Marrone would be testament to that.
Yeah. And, I mean, when you haven't been a successful franchise for the better part of 12, 13 years, the guy coming in the door also worried about the stability of ownership due to the age of the owner, it makes it even more dicey if you're a prospective head coaching candidate. And so I think
ownership,
to some degree you understand it, but at the same time it's just like, come on, man.
The stability of the ownership is one of those factors in a head coach's decision to whether to a candidate's decision. Except that stability and where it's at and what it looks like and the relationship that is fostered and how the interview goes on an interpersonal level, that is an enormous factor for quality head coaching candidates, because they know how important it is to have somebody, an owner, on board with you as head coach and getting some insurances from them. Urban Meyer, it's been well documented now that he's accepted the job in Jacksonville. He got some huge assurances from Shad Khan about the upgrading the facilities and of paying the support staff for the football operations crew and really pouring some resources back into the organization that had not been present in the years prior to this. And you got to do that. It's been reported that Urban said this, the things they're doing in Jacksonville their facilities weren't up to the speed of Ohio State. So those kind of things are really important to these candidates. And it'll be interesting, and I don't know, have any idea what Brian Daboll would want in each individual opportunity here. Now you've got Houston, you've got the Chargers, you've got the Lions, and you've got the Eagles. What head coaching candidates, and each one of them is different, what do they ask for in return? If you want me to do this job, you got to do A, B, C, D, and F. What are those letters in each of those guys' minds? And that's a pretty interesting thing that I wish we could find out.
Yeah. Well, good luck crawling into the head of these guys, because everybody's different in terms of what they value, what they prioritize. And sometimes that's why some decisions made by prospective head coaching candidates leave you scratching your head, because everybody's got a different set of priorities as to what they're looking for, what they need. And a lot of times they've got to know who they're going to work for, too. Right. That's why the coaching ranks are very much a who-you-know type of business. So we'll see where it lands with the Falcons with Arthur Smith, but that leaves four other head coaching jobs open: Houston, Detroit, the Chargers, and the Eagles. So we'll see what happens and what comes afoot. There were reports earlier in the week that the Eagles had requested permission to speak with Brian Daboll, but I have not seen much more on that since the initial report came out of Philly that Brian Daboll would be a player on their radar that they would like to talk to. I haven't seen anything concrete saying that a formal interview has been requested, but you would presume where there's smoke, there's fire. So we'll have to just wait and see if and when that happens. presumably after this week of games is done. I mean, it could happen as early as Sunday, you know, right, the day after the Bills play. So win, lose, or draw. So we'll have to just keep our ear to the ground and see where that goes. We also want to remind you that Friday, as always, is the OBL fan mailbag. So any question you have on the roster, tomorrow's game, the coaching staff, the NFL in general, the head coaching vacancies that we were just talking about, fire them away. We're here and ready to answer them. Any questions you have. So you can send them to us on the tweet sheet at One Bills Live, or you can give us a call, 803-0550. We are going to lead off with the phones today, and we begin with Dan in Rochester. Dan, welcome to One Bills Live.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Steve.
Hey, what's up, Dan?
Steve, you belong in the Hall of Fame, Steve.
Appreciate it. Thanks. What's on your mind?
Okay, man. Wow. You got me fired up yesterday, Steve. I got up at 1 o'clock this morning. Then I went to the Y at 5:30, got on a bike, and I was gone for an hour. I was really jacked up, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I did what I said I was going to do yesterday, Dan. I watched the Sabres game last night.
Okay.
And
so did I.
Yeah, and, you know, I was bummed. But, you know, 6-4, if Stahl doesn't get that bad turnover that ends up in our net, we had a chance to tie that up and go, you know, so.
We'll win tonight.
Yeah, well, hopefully. It'll be nice. I want to see him play. And I'm excited, too, that there's so many new faces on this roster. I'm really excited to get to know these guys.
And I'm so proud of you guys living in Western New York, because I've been living here my whole life, and I'm proud you made your home here. And you do a great job, you and Chris. Thank you.
Thanks,
you
Dan. Well, appreciate that. That's nice of you to say.
I will say, and also, so I got this idea, this thing, too, where the Sabres made it possible for me to – for, I don't know whether it was me or everybody, I don't know, well, season ticket holder. I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah, yeah.
So they offered me a chance to put one of the cutouts in the stands.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw those.
Did it today.
Did you really?
Yep. Did it today. And it's one of, and I put it in the first, and you know what I put? I
now,
put one of the,
let me ask you, do you get to choose the photo
oh,
of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. They could have let me put one of the players in. With
yeah.
And they could have put me with a picture, and then I could overlay a jersey on me. I didn't do that. I had a bunch of pictures of this might be chili cigar thing.
Did they not let you because the cigars
aren't allowed
inside?
Well, I put the thing in there,
inside.
And it was a picture with me actually puffing on the cigar straight towards the camera, so it fit in the cutout, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't have my arm out with the cigar or anything. And I couldn't do that because it was tobacco in it. So they sent it back to me, and I was like,
I thought that might be the problem.
Gosh dang it. So then,
because as you know, you can't smoke in any indoor facility.
So I redid it, and this one didn't have a cigar or anything, but it did have the smoke coming out of my mouth.
Oh.
That flew. So that's it.
They took that
that's
one.
It.
Okay.
So it's the exact same shoot. When we did the hype video, this See You in Buffalo Might Be Chili hype video.
Oh, boy.
They took a bunch of pictures for stuff like this, right? For the
that
towel
is
and all that
good.
Stuff. So they gave me them, and so I used one of those. I got the hat and everything.
I imagine we could see that very soon on one of the Sabres telecasts.
Do I get the thing when it's all said and done? Are they going to send that to me? Or?
Oh, send it to you at the end of the season?
Or is Joe the janitor going to take that home and throw darts at it?
I'm wondering if you should get, you know, royalties for every appearance you make, you know. You make one appearance per game.
Oh, listen, I should, but I ain't going to. I've had to make a couple of birthday videos in that getup.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it's taken on a life of its own.
Right.
I love it.
There you go. So, yeah, but that I'm high on the Sabres, man. Like, can I say? I love them. And there's a new faces I want to get to know. And last night,
right,
I have had no shot. And I got to be honest, I can't jump. I can't go head first into the Sabres yet. I got to wait till this Super Bowl thing's over, this run that the Bills are on, and
right,
then I'll jump in. But for now, it was a nice.
Well, it was
little,
a welcome diversion.
It
for
was
you.
A nice little sigh of relief
kinda
last night for
the
a
nerves.
Couple hours. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I hear you. Let's take one more phone call before we have to break. Here we go to Nathan in Ellicottville. Nathan, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Sid. Thanks for taking my call. I'll be brief. I've been living down in Ellicottville due to the pandemic. We've been skiing all the time, and just the energy down here is insane. You have people in jerseys everywhere, and I've had a lot of friends come in from out of town, and we'll be on the ski lift, and all of a sudden you hear, hey, hey. Everybody on the lift is singing and shooting and hollering. Nobody knows what's going on. Who's never experienced that before, and it's just a great run. I know we've all been anxious this whole week, and I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Thanks for taking my call.
All right, man.
You bet. Thanks, Nathan.
Yeah, the buzz is palpable. I think that's safe to say. Just about everybody has put their arms around this team, even the casual fans, even the non-fans, to be honest with you. Everybody's on board.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because
it's always a pleasant surprise because you can't go out to too many places, right? You don't nobody congregates.
Skiing is one good outdoor activity you can do, although they're making you go one at a time on the lifts for social distancing.
Seriously?
Yeah, one at a time. I don't know if it's different if you're with somebody that's
sense.
In your pod,
makes
but
sense.
Yeah,
makes
social
sense.
Distancing, you're together for
but
two or three
too,
minutes.
But it's easy, too, because everybody wears a mask anyway, usually, right? Not everybody, but
well,
you,
maybe,
you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
easy enough to put a little a baklava
right.
on.
Yeah, I mean, you got eye goggles
a
on.
A baklava on, you know, just a
yeah, I know what you're saying.
And then, so that's, it's a little bit like golf. We could play golf this last summer because when mm-hmm. you're golfing, you can easily stay 6 feet apart and you're outdoors. Skiing, same thing to me. You could, except for the ski lift. That's right. That's, you know.
Yeah. I guess it's something to do.
I guess they got enough.
It's something to do.
I know. Just give me something to do other than just turn into a potato on a cow. Oh.
You are a big old tater.
I'm a tragedy at work, man. I am just so pathetic. I'm a pathetic human being.
Oh, you'll be all right.
When I don't have,
we'll get there.
I am an embarrassment.
We'll get there. Break time for us, because when we come back, it is the latest edition of Tasker's Teammate. We got a doozy for Steve this week. If he can guess which teammate we're describing with the clues I'll be giving after the break. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And it is that time in the show where we test Steve's deeper recesses of his memory.
Let me clear my
it
mind.
It is time for Tasker's Teammate. And it's brought to you by Wegmans Meals to Go. Delicious meals delivered. Download the Wegmans app today. Are you prepared, Steve? Are you ready?
I am so ready.
So Let's ready. Go. Okay, here we go. I was born in Chicago and went to Mount Carmel High School.
Okay. Chicago. Marv Levy.
It is not Marv Levy.
That was a good guess.
He would be your coach, not your teammate, necessarily.
You know, we're all in it together.
All right, fair enough.
Mount Carmel.
Chicago native.
All right.
Okay. Clue number two. I played my college ball in the Big 8 Conference.
Big 8. Oh, man, that's my wheelhouse, the Big 8.
Mm-hmm. I didn't want to give you the school and make it too easy, but trying to narrow it down for you.
Jerry Ostrowski.
It is not Jerry Ostrowski.
Nah,
I believe he went to Tulsa.
That's not right. Hold on. Let me have it. I got another one up.
I will tell you that these clues kind of build upon each other one by one, so make sure you
Big 8.
Commit these to memory.
So it could have been at
as we move along.
Iowa State, Nebraska. No, I don't know.
Clue number three, Steve. I was a sixth-round draft choice of the Bills in 1992.
D.
defensive lineman out
of
Nebraska.
So think about
defensive lineman out of Nebraska.
Think about all of your clues thus far.
Defensive lineman out of Nebraska. I can't think of his name. John. I'll never get that guy's name. We traded him to San Diego. That's not him. 92. Sixth
round.
Oh,
I know who you're thinking of, but no, it is not okay. That guy, and I can't think of his dang name either. John Perella?
That's it.
Yeah, it's not him.
He's in the big. I'm thinking Big Eight's got me now. I say I got to go.
I don't know how K-State. I got that name and how we were both thinking of the same person.
Right?
I don't know how we got that.
I know.
I'm more impressed with that.
Right? Oklahoma. Sixth rounder. Oklahoma.
Yep. All right, I'm going to move on to clue number four here, okay? I was a teammate of Steve's for two seasons before moving on to an NFC team in 1995.
Russell Copeland.
It is not Russell Copeland.
He's from Georgia. Wait. No, we've already had Carlton Bailey.
That's right. We did have Carlton Bailey, right?
All right, I'm thinking he went to Carolina with Frank and Biebs and Pete. Biebs?
It is Don not Biebs.
All right.
Clue number five, I lined up at two positions on offense in college, and I was somewhat of a utility player for the Bills, playing on offense and special teams.
Oh, frick. Jamie Mueller. Oh, we already had him, didn't
not
we?
Jamie Mueller. Yeah, we have already had Jamie.
Wait. Offense and special teams. This has got to just narrow it down here now. Carwell Gardner.
It is not Carwell Gardner.
That was a good guess.
This may give it away, but I'm going to give it to you. So next clue, Jordan Poyer currently wears the number I wore with the Bills.
Wayne. No. Champagne Wayne. No, 21.
21 is the number, yes.
Turner.
Do you have the first name? It's Nate.
Nate Turner.
Turner. Correct.
Nate Turner.
And we have Nate on the line. You finally got him.
Gosh. I knew he went to Nebraska,
what's
right?
Happening?
Nebraska, yes.
That's
hey,
it.
Look at you. How you doing, man?
What's going on?
Where are you living now?
Good, man?
Where are you living?
Chicago.
Oh, okay. All right.
Chicago, it's back in Chicago.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming on. I knew you went to Nebraska, and I did not know you were born in Chicago.
Yeah, born and raised.
Yeah, you had
born and raised.
Tell me about your career at Nebraska.
You know what?
Who was the head coach?
Utility player the whole time. You know, I was the number one receiver in high school, coming out of high school and in the country. So when I got to Nebraska, I really didn't have a quarterback. So it was the years we had, strange quarterback stuff. So my father who told me, he said, hey, if you ever want to go to the next level, you better start doing some stuff that shows up on tape. So I got in the weight room and started blocking my ass off, man.
Yeah. That's I remember that because you came in. You were not built like a wideout. I know that.
Right. No, I'm going to end up moving to – I played wing back in Nebraska. And then end up moving to tight end and fullback in Buffalo.
Who was your head coach at Nebraska?
Tom Osborne.
So you were a Tom Osborne guy. Wow.
I want to know what it was like getting recruited by Tom Osborne. Did he ever make a visit to your house, or was it one of his assistant coaches?
Yes. Yes. No, he came. He came. Actually, at one point, I had it's pretty funny when I get with the guys I grew up with. I had Tom Osborne in the house. Joe Paterno was in the car waiting outside, and
at the same time,
the guy from at the same time.
Oh my god!
Yeah, at the same time.
I've always wondered that. Like, what is it like when you have a coach of that stature sitting in your own living room? Like, as an 18-year-old kid, you gotta be like, are you blown away, or did you kind of play it pretty cool?
You know what you. You know what it is, but you really don't. Like, it means a lot more to me now.
Right.
Than it did at that point.
I'll tell you what, at our age, it's a great story.
Exactly. I'll tell you one of my favorite stories I tell people all the time. And congratulations, Sevy, on getting this Hall of Fame. Hopefully you get the nod. But I've seen Seve take the ball off of Chris Moore's foot like two or three times. And it's incredible to see, and there's something that athletically you don't see that.
Yeah.
Well, it's unbelievable.
We were all different people back then, Nate.
You're right, no doubt.
I don't think I could take it from him. I couldn't take it from him now if he handed it to me.
But Nate, you've got two boys, right? And what I think one of them's playing football right now, right? Is he still in high school or is he at the college level already?
Yeah. My youngest is a junior in at Phillips Academy in Chicago. He's getting some national recognition. He's doing well.
Yeah. So is he starting to whittle that list down? I'm sure he's got some considerations that he's making.
Last year we didn't even play football in Illinois, right, which really stunk.
Right.
So they're trying to play a spring season,
right,
and then that'll go into a senior season.
Right. Now what's his name?
Tyler. Okay. Tyler Turner.
All right. So
he plays quarterback, right?
Does he play QB?
He plays QB.
All right. Yes. What's the scouting report? What's he look like?
He's 6'3", 205.
God.
Mahomes type. He can throw the ball from different angles. He's a tough kid.
Yeah. Did he play any other sports?
Track.
Oh, okay.
He runs track.
So I guess he's a runner, not a thrower?
No, he's a thrower.
Oh, is he? Oh,
he's
good for
thrower,
him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay, we got to remember that name. We got to file that name away, Steve. We got to keep an eye out for that one in a couple of years.
I'm writing it down.
Yeah, Steve can't remember anything, right, so he's got to write it all down nowadays.
Nate, thanks for coming on, man. It's awesome to see you. You look great. When was the last time you were in Buffalo? Have you ever been back?
You know what? Went back for the Thurman.
Right.
Jersey retired.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys back for that. And
right.
What is the
– Looks like it'll be going back soon, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it'll be nice.
Right.
Thanks for coming on, man. It's good to see you.
And awesome. Good to see you too, Sammy.
I appreciate you coming on. It's really nice. And and it's good to see you. I hope things are well. I hope your family stays healthy and well for the rest of the pandemic, and hopefully it'll end soon.
Ditto, man. Same to you, brother.
All right. Thanks for playing along, Nate. We appreciate you joining us here on Taskers Teammate. That's Nate Turner, former Bills. I didn't know. I called him a utility man because that's kind of what he was. Number 21, but he played tight end, played some fullback, he played some running back.
Played special teams.
Did some kick return. He even had a couple of kick returns on his stats. Maybe it was because he was an up
that's
man
why,
it was a
and,
short
and
kick.
And it's interesting, too, because he started out as a wideout, went to H-back. So you start doing different things. And that happened to me as well, a guy like Nate Turner. And got a lot of young pro football players don't get what Nate got, meaning they don't understand. The more you can do, the more ways there are for you to make yourself valuable.
Yeah.
And also, when you start, particularly when he started in college doing different things, like same thing with me. I was a wide receiver in college and a kick returner, and then they started putting me on kick coverage and punt coverage and stuff. And you get over your whatever apprehension you have about doing other things, about covering kicks or returning kicks or whatever, and you start getting over the – like, I'm a running back. I don't want to do anything else, you know, or if you get over that and start trying to be a football player,
be in the league a lot longer,
it really makes you more valuable, and it also helps you in that one special thing that you're going to do anyway, right? So and that's what I ask him about his son. I go, was he playing any other sports? That's an enormous advantage, being able to play other sports. Like Mahomes with baseball and running track. Finding some basketball, finding some other way to be good at another sport, it really broadens your mind.
You see
about
that
what
a
you're
lot
capable
less
of.
Nowadays, though.
I know
kids are so specialized now.
Yeah,
it's tough.
Youth sports are forcing kids in our country, in particular, to specialize sports so early in life.
Yeah, because if you want to just be good enough to play on your high school team, that's what you got to do. Sometimes
I think it does an enormous disservice to the kids.
I agree with that. Yeah. How about that story, though? He's got Tom Osborne in his living room, and Joe Paterno's in the car out front.
That is
big time, man.
That's big.
That is big time.
That is unbelievable. That's a
how
that
do you not feel like a total badass at 18 with Tom Osborne asking you to come to Nebraska, and if you say no, you got Joe Paterno on deck. Are you kidding me?
And I'll say this, too.
Wow.
He's right. When you're 18, it's like – it's just the way it is.
That's a great story, though.
You don't get how unbelievable that is. You know what I mean?
That's
just like, this is the way life is going to be. That's amazing. That's
tough
to
top.
I wish we'd asked him why he went to Nebraska and not Penn State.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Penn State.
Well, you're in Chicago, what are you? You're about halfway between those two schools, give or take a few hundred miles. No?
No, no, no.
Think Nebraska's, Chicago's a lot closer to Nebraska?
No.
Oh,
no.
Penn State's closer.
Well, Chicago's way closer to Penn State.
Okay.
Way closer to Penn State.
Because that's Western PA. Well, a little, Western.
A little
enough,
Western
PA.
Eastern. And listen, you get out, bro, Sleeve, I live out there. You get out towards Missouri and Kansas, and it becomes
flat
dog
forever.
Miles. It's like
flat forever.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Anybody so worried about overpopulation in this country, just drive through the Plain States.
Yeah, there's plenty of space.
You'll feel a lot better.
There. Plenty of space out there.
All right, break time for us. But when we come back, we will talk to Andy Major, the Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience, as he preps those 6,700 fans that will be attending Saturday night's game against the Ravens.
If you're going to go to the game or went to the game and you have some questions for Andy, tweet them at us real quick. Maybe we'll get to them.
Yeah, tweet them at us. Sure. We'll take them at One Bills Live. Send them over and we'll have Andy answer them for us. Here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health, it's Buffalo Bills Radio.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And joining us now, Bills Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience, Andy Major. He was on last week to kind of help us prep the fans attending the wild card game. He's back to do the same, knowing there's probably a large percentage of new fans coming out this week. Andy, how you doing? You guys all ready to roll for tomorrow?
Yeah, we're ready. You know, last week was a great week, a long week. Well, we had a great outcome, and we're looking forward to this week as well, even more.
What is the what did you learn last week that you may not have foreseen, and what was the biggest issue you had with fans about the way things it was all new and different to them? What was the biggest adjustment fans had to make? Did you hear about? And was there anything unforeseen that popped up?
You know, I'll tell you. I think the greatest thing that we experienced last week was how awesome the fans were complying with all the rules. I mean, we know it's a big ask. We know it's all for a good reason, for safety. But yeah, the fans were amazing. They wore their masks. I think if you look at all the photos online and in general, you can see our fans are socially distant. They're having a great time and they're wearing their mask. And that was a big deal for us, to make sure we were able to bring fans back again this week. That was probably our biggest takeaway, guys, honestly.
Yeah, and that's great. And I know that, just going into the facility myself, there were Department of Health officials, kind of keeping an eye on things. So it was good that the compliance was so stringent by the fans themselves, kind of self-discipline kind of deal. There is a new element, though, Andy, that I wanted to cover with you with this week's game, with it being a night game and the Erie County rules coming down from New York State with regard to the concessions. Can you just outline how that's going to work with this being a night game?
Yeah, no, great question. Thanks for asking that one. With the concessions, obviously we're cashless, which is great. And we did open up a few additional concession stands per the request of New York State to just help further spread some of the lines out there at halftime. But the new thing for this game with the night game is at 10 o'clock at night, is going to be the cutoff time for selling food and beverage. So we just want to make sure all the fans are aware per New York State guidelines. We needed to make sure we comply with that. So our partner, Delaware North, they'll be shutting down the stands shortly before 10 To make sure we're in full compliance with that.
Yeah.
So there'll be some messaging about that for the fans on game day as well, but we appreciate everybody understanding that call.
Yeah, just basically plan ahead, maybe get that bottle of water before halftime or something instead of trying to wait until the second half because it might be too late by then. So just plan ahead, right?
And you may not have the numbers for this, Andy, but how many of all the, you had to test like what, 8,000 people for this, 6,700 fans and whatever,
staff.
Personnel, staff and everything. And, did you have any idea of how many of those people actually were going to come and then couldn't because they tested positive? Was there a handful of those? And how did that happen? How did that be handled? How was that handled?
Yeah, I mean, we did have a pretty good handle on that. We're working very closely with BioReference, who's doing all the testing, and New York State as well. So we did get the list periodically throughout each day, almost every hour or every 2 hours, we'd get an updated list of how the numbers were transpiring. So that really helped our ticket office out. It helped BioReference out, with being able to manage, the ticket allotments and the tickets themselves. It's a tough turnaround, as you guys know, with the testing.
Yeah.
So if folks tested positive and they're one of the last people to test on that Thursday before game day on Saturday, some of those were a little bit more difficult to deal with than others. But you guys saw the numbers. The governor made that announcement. I think the rate announced was 1.9%.
Yeah.
This game, we're trending at least that or lower. So we're looking to be in a good shape, good position for Saturday again.
And then just to fill in the new fans coming this week, why don't we just walk through, Andy, if you could, when the parking lot's open and where fans can look for their entry time, because I know there were a couple of people last week who were wondering, I have to have a designated entry time. Where is it? But it's right on their mobile ticket, right?
Yeah, I mean, the ticket office has been phenomenal just dealing with all these calls and helping us out operationally with some of this messaging on the tickets themselves. So people will have an assigned ticket location, obviously. They'll have a parking location to enter north or south side. We'll split the stadium into two zones, north and south zone. And then fans will have a specific gate to enter within their zone, along with a specific designated time to arrive at the gate. So what really does help us out is spreading all the fans throughout the gates, throughout the entry level time period, keeps everyone socially distant, and really helps us comply fully with what New York State, has asked us to do.
That's been
Big help from the ticket office to have that info on the tickets.
Yeah, the time is right there on the ticket. So if you're not sure what your entry time is, just look at your mobile ticket. It is on there somewhere.
All right, so I want to get to the human side of this. I mean, you must have had a lot of feedback from and testimonials about not only did people come, but it was a pretty special day for some people. You know, bringing kids for the first time. And some of these kids aren't kids. I mean, they're like – they're like 20-somethings who have never been to a playoff game in the stadium.
In their life.
Yeah, and you got families coming back into the stadium. So what were some of the cool things that you got out of the fan feedback from that side of it?
I mean, I love hearing the stories. We were out walking the stadium early just to make sure everything was going well and checking in with our staff and our team members that are out there in the cold working the game for the fans. But watching the fans come in the gates, welcoming them back to the stadium, to the game, you can't help but ask them some stories or ask them some questions and get a sense for how they're feeling. You could just see the excitement. But what I got, my biggest takeaway from game day was, it was a very emotional day, guys. I mean, I don't know if you, I'm sure, Steve, I'm sure you felt it. It was an emotional day for all of us. Like, with all that's been going on in the world with this pandemic, the Bills are that bond that ties our community together. We're not LA, we're not New York City, we're Buffalo. We're very proud. We support our team. We've talked about the loyalty and the passion of our fan base and Bills Mafia, and it is second to none. And to see that on game day, to see the tears of joy, literally we saw from fans and staff alike, because they were just so overcome with emotion. And obviously the game and the way we won the game at the end, really put that over the top. It's something, honestly, I don't think I'll ever forget.
Yeah.
25 years is a long time. And the stories of dads with their kids have never seen a playoff game. You know, their dads are trying to share the history of the Bills with their kids. And now the kids actually are there and look at that game that they got to witness and go through. You know, it was a memory I'll never forget.
Andy, last one from me is, again, for the new fans coming in, while there are more restrictions in what you can bring in, because you can't even bring those see-through bags like you do for regular season games when there isn't a pandemic, they do need to bring a couple of things with them, namely either their mobile evidence of a negative test or a printed-out PDF, and then they also have to bring their own ID to match that up with the testing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Chris. You know, we've promised the fans that we're going to have a lot of our lines open, a lot more staff than probably what we really need. But we want to make sure that it's a very seamless, smooth, easy process for the fans to go through our gate entry and get inside the stadium safely. And yeah, we will have our staff out there, you know, checking the negative tests and verifying the IDs. We do ask fans to please don't bring bags this game. We have a no bag policy. Only the small 4.5-inch by 5.5 clutch purse is allowed for some personal items. But we want to make this a very easy process for fans. You know, we should be able to deliver with that like we did last week. And again, we do appreciate the fans very, very much for following through and doing what we've asked them to do. It's been a really good process after game one.
All right, Andy, thanks much for the time and bringing us up to speed, as well as all those new fans. Good luck pulling it off a second time in a row here.
Guys, we are as excited as last week. We really appreciate the fans. Bring Bills Mafia loud and proud. And please wear your mask, social distance, do all the things we've been asking. And if things go our way, you just never know. We might be here next weekend as well.
Yeah.
All right, Mage. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy. Got to root for the Browns to do that one.
That's right. Go Bills, go Browns.
Yeah, that's Andy Major, Vice President of Operations and Guest Experience. His staff has done a monumental job. They've literally moved mountains over there. So good on them for making it go so seamlessly the first time with the help of Bills fans. Who did the right thing last week. It's a big reason why there are fans getting the opportunity to go this week. So good on that first group. Second group, do just as good a job. And who knows, if the Browns win and the Bills win, they'll be right back in that same stadium next week for the AFC title game.
Don't start me.
You're not ready yet?
I'm not ready for that yet.
Break time for us when we come back. It's Lorenzo Alexander with the lowdown. It's coming your way next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.